We've been working through a series the last couple of weeks called The Original Selfies. And I'm going to take a break from that this morning. We'll finish up with that next week. I had intended to do it this morning, but wanted to speak about the challenges that our mothers have today. And this passage that we heard shared this morning speaks of a mother who faced the greatest challenge that any mother would ever face, and that is the death of a child, in this case a grown child, and that would be Mary, the son of Jesus. And this is probably a little heavier than usually what we would speak of on Mother's Day, but I've first started putting this down in 2012 and let it set for 6 years. So it cropped up yesterday, and so let's see what the Lord does. You know, our society is crucifying its children. Those chief priests that are spoken of in the Gospel of John, and Pilate, the governor, who crucified Jesus, the son of Mary, on a cross, are still crucifying our sons and daughters today. Those chief priests and Pilate are symbols of today, the marketers of violence and of consumerism and of pornography. And our children are being crucified daily by those things. They are seduced into a world of mass consumerism that convinces them with their sleek ads that if they just look and talk and walk a certain way, and that if they have the right things, then they'll fit in. Social media has created a fake and unattainable world that has left so many of our youth lonely and depressed. Society has turned sex into a commodity and a pastime. And in such a world, our children are turning to alcohol and drugs. They're dropping out of society. They're becoming cynical. They're rejecting marriage. They're rejecting having children. And most frightening of all, they doubt that there is such a thing as the transcendent, let alone that there is a personal God that could possibly exist in their lives. So in many ways, the future is dead. God is dead to a people to a generation that has been crucified by society. But then you ask, well, what else were we to expect? We banned God from the classroom, and we banned him from the public sphere, the public square, which was never the intention of our founding fathers. In our homes, we've turned our kids over to screens, and we've introduced them to the violence and the pornography and the tremendous pressures that come from what's coming at them from those screens that we have just given them free access to. And in our churches, we presented the spiritual life as simply following rules or as treating religion like a fairy tale. We did not share with them or exemplify before them the reality and the power of a living God, a God who is real, a God who pours his love and his grace into each of us. And then our sons and daughters, when they go mad trying to survive in this empty and this overscheduled and this corrupt civilization that we've offered them, when they turn to things like sex and drugs and virtual reality and the love of possessions, and in worst case scenarios, they go on rampage killings or drinking binges, or they take their own life. And the question comes, well, what did we expect? Looking at the society that we have handed them. And in community after community and in church after church I've been in over the years, and in mothers that I talk to over the years, I talk to mothers whose children have been ripped out of their arms by this corrupt and violent society. But yet I see mothers still standing at the foot of the cross where their child is being crucified. And they're weeping and they're worrying and they're worn out and they're anguishing over what society has done to their child, because their children are being crucified. Now, in biblical language, we can say that they've been given over to Moloch. In the Old Testament, Moloch was an ancient god who was worshipped by the Canaanites and the Phoenicians and other cultures. And God warned the Israelites not to worship Moloch, because Moloch kills children, literally. As worship of Moloch, parents would actually give one of their children to this god, and the child would be thrown into the fire as a sacrifice to the god Moloch. And in Leviticus 18, we're warned, "And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch." But yet we look around and how many children are being thrown into the fire of Moloch, this god that our society is worshiping. Can our children be saved from the grip of Moloch, who seduces our children into the fire? Well, through God's power and through the devotion of so many mothers, our children can be saved. And praise God that we worship an awesome God, a God who is so full of power. And if we allow His power to flow through us, if we allow His power to enter into us and to embolden us and to ignite us into action, things can change. So I especially want to encourage our mothers this morning to remind you that there is nothing greater than the power of the divine, and that power dwells in you. And if you open yourself to it and you allow it to change you, it can flow through your life and it can change the lives of those around you. And we can rescue our children from the grip of Moloch. It seems that if anyone is to save our children from Moloch's grip, it will be the deeply compassionate and tough-as-nails mothers. If you notice the blocking in this story, Jesus is on the cross. He's the center of the story. And then there's a first circle of people around Him. And every one of them is a woman. And then nearby, it says, was the disciple whom Jesus loved. So you have Jesus at the cross, and He's surrounded by the women and His mother, Mary. Now where are the men? If you read the gospel stories, the men have already left town. They fled. But it was the women who stood by Jesus at the cross. They were the first to visit His grave. They were the first to see the risen Christ at the tomb. And so on Mother's Day, first of all, I think we all need to just turn to you who are mothers and say thank you. Thank you for staying at the cross as our children suffer. Thank you to mothers and grandmothers and aunts and sisters and teachers who remained next to children, who remained alongside your children as they were being crucified by this society on the cross. You know, maybe Mary's story is familiar to you as a mother. Maybe it's not too unlike your story. You remember the Advent story. Mary is visited by an angel. She becomes pregnant, and the first thing that she does is she goes to her cousin. She goes to her cousin and she celebrates. And they celebrate together because her cousin is also pregnant. And babies jump in bellies in this meeting. And there's just this excitement and this anticipation. And they talk and they laugh and they share dreams about their children. And no doubt Mary had dreams about her child. That her child would grow to be a good child, a strong, pious child, respected in the community, who would grow to amount to something, as they say. And yet now we find Jesus hanging on a criminal's cross. In the world's eyes, he didn't amount to anything. And though we see this violent, consumerist, dissolving society take child after child and throw them over to Moloch, we never think it's going to be our child until it is. It happened to Mary. Her son Jesus was attacked and he was crucified by the same powers that are crucifying our children today. So what did Mary do? Well, Mary demonstrated a way of devotion and a love for her son that all of us can learn from as we seek to protect our society's children from Moloch and from his fires. First of all, Mary prayed for her son. She listened to that divine voice and she pondered the things in her heart. You see, prayer changes things. But more importantly, it changes the one who prays. In a devoted prayer life, you can find clarity and you can find power and you can find peace and you can find joy, even though there are struggles and your child struggles who's been snatched by Moloch. But in prayer, divine guidance comes. If you will pray, divine guidance and clarity will come. Celestial strength will come and it'll innervate you. It will energize you. Love lifts all of us up in prayer. So Mary prayed for her son. But also, Mary took her son to the temple. When he was an infant, we see Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple to consecrate him to God. And then when Jesus was a boy, they permitted him to go to the temple and take in the religious experience of God's presence. Take your children to church. Let your children see God's people worshiping. Let your children experience and taste and smell and hear and see the religious experience of God's people, so that they can begin to ask the questions, who is this God? Where is he? And as we begin to teach and to show, well, God is in you. The kingdom of God is in you. A child's life is changed. They may stray, they may go down wrong paths, they may make wrong decisions, but forever they will know that God is within them. Next, we see, and as a parent, we've all experienced this one, Mary got into the fray and she tried to pull Jesus out of harmful situations. It's actually a story in Mark where Jesus was teaching and saying things that sounded crazy to the world, and his family even began to think Jesus was a little crazy. In fact, Mary and some of Jesus' brothers went to say, Jesus, it's time to come home now. You're saying some crazy things. She got in the middle and she tried to protect her son. And man, I've seen Michelle, my wife, do that many times. And this calm lamb turns into this ferocious lion. Steps in to protect her children. And I just step back. Because mothers can do that. Mothers can, they can get in the midst of that and they get this protective sense and they take care of business. Mary did that with her son. So Mary prays for her child. She takes her child to church and she gets in the middle and follows her protective instincts. But then finally, and this is what we began with, finally Mary did not abandon her child at the cross. She wasn't a helicopter mom, but she was always there. Even at Jesus' lowest moment, when everyone else had rejected Jesus, Mary was with her son at the cross, weeping. And so the challenge today in raising children in this world that is worshipped by Moloch, this violent and fragmented world, the challenge is raising children who realize that God is not only real, but that God dwells within their very souls, in their very hearts, and He is their power and their hope and their strength. And if we're not exemplifying that within the church and we're not teaching that, then we have failed our children. Because our children are going to go into a world of screens and of sex and of violence and of consumerism, and they're going to be seduced into that unless they know that at their core is the power of the presence of the living God. Are we teaching our children that? But Mary did not abandon her child when her child was dying on the cross. Maybe you're raising discarded children today, the children whose biological parents were destroyed by this, or hampered by this violence and destruction. Maybe you're, raising discarded children is one of the greatest challenges of parents. Or maybe you're raising or have raised children exploited by the seductive lures of Moloch, like alcohol or drugs or sexual promiscuity or violence. And they're often angry and lost. And you've done all that you can to love them and help them back to a loving place, but they can't seem to break the violence and the wastefulness that they've fallen into. But there you still stand by the cross as a mother. But yet you don't abandon them. We've experienced that in our own life with a child who has fallen into a terrible psychological disease. And there's been so many ways, steps along the path where you just wanted to say, we can't do this anymore. But yet the mother stays there and she remains at the cross. And she weeps and she prays and she hopes because she knows the power of God that is within that child is greater than anything that Moloch can throw at her. And it's true with your child. It's true with your grandchild. The power that is living in your child, who is Jesus Christ, is stronger than anything that Moloch can throw at them. Amen. Some of you are raising overachievers who are dealing with their own demons of being workaholics or perfectionists, or they're fearing failure, or they're neurotically driven by their desire to achieve. They don't realize that they are children of God, and if they don't make straight A's, or that if they don't make a six-figure salary, that they're still loved. Moloch gets us any way he can. But yet there you as a mother stand by the cross praying and remaining hopeful. So remember this, no matter what Facebook and Instagram may present, none of you mothers are raising or have raised the perfect child. Sorry. You just haven't. You probably already knew that, didn't you? The evil forces of this world are always pressing up against the lives of our children. But whatever the choices that our children make, they are children of God. So thank you for standing near the cross. Dear mothers, thank you for staying at the foot of the cross as society, with all of its pressures and Moloch, were trying to destroy your child. And maybe you're a mother who has made mistakes. It's probably every mother here. Some greater than others. Know that you can always find your way back to the cross of your child. It's never too late. It is a painful place to be at the foot of the cross. You view so much anguish and pain and wasting away, and you want to climb up there and you want to bear the cross for your child. But in the end, your child has to bear their own cross. They have to find their own way to the Father's house. But what we're to do is to provide light on the dark path. We're to be that warm and comforting voice that sustains that child as he or she seeks her way home. So in the end, Mary was a mother that was worthy of God's child, because Jesus looked to his best friend, the disciple who Jesus loved, and he said to him, "I recommend this woman as your mother." What greater blessing than for someone to turn to you as a woman and say, "I recommend you as their mother." And that's what Jesus did. And when Jesus saw his mother there, it says, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, he said, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, the disciple took her into his home. This is a statement indicative of what the kingdom of God really is. The kingdom of God is a woman standing near the cross and weeping and hoping and trusting that the power of God that lives in each child will in due season overcome the power of Moloch. And it will. So thank you, mothers, for remaining at the foot of the cross, even in the greatest challenge. Let's pray together. Father, how wonderful it is to be in your house, to be among your people, to worship your divine presence that pours into our hearts, that opens our souls wide open. That you teach us to walk in your way. And we thank you for the mothers who are so strong and so faithful and who remain at the foot of the cross, mothers and stepmothers and grandmothers and aunts and sisters and friends and teachers who remain there and weep and hope. And we pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.